Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and I'm excited to bring you another episode absolutely free. This episode is one of many released every month, totaling over 80 episodes so far. Each one is meticulously digitally restored and stored in the cloud for your convenience, a process that incurs costs. To help cover these expenses, you might hear some advertisements throughout the episode. While we do retain the original commercials for historical authenticity, we may also encounter modern ads, which help keep the lights on. If you prefer an ad-free experience, we offer a couple options. You can listen to the episodes on YouTube, where they don't include the audio ads, although YouTube may provide their own ads on their platform. Alternatively, you can also support us by becoming a patron on our Patreon page. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/donate. Again, otrwesterns.com/donate. I do want to emphasize that we are committed to providing this content to you for free, but also we have to be transparent about the financial realities to bringing this to you. To those of you who are already supporting us, we extend our heartfelt thanks. Your contributions make it possible for us to continue doing what we love. And as a final note, I did want to mention one last thing. If you are paying for a service, let's say like Audible, and you're listening to this show on that site, they do not provide any financial or monetary means to this podcast. We provide it to them as a way for you to be able to listen, but they don't help us in any way. So again, thank you to everybody who's already supporting, and those of you who want to support us in the future, I deeply appreciate it. Now, let's get into this episode. This episode is going to be All-Star Western Theater, originally aired November 22nd, 1947, and the title is Hail to the Spirit That Always Was. Hope you enjoy.
The Bakers of Weber's Bread present your All-Star Western Theater, recorded earlier for release at this time.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood comes your All-Star Western Theater, starring America's great western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage, bringing you the music, the stories, and the spirit of the great open spaces. And now, here are the Riders of the Purple Sage.
Ippee-yay, ippee-o, in a day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell. Or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
When each new day is born, I go riding.
Yippee-yay!
On the wide open plains I roam.
Yippee-o.
Till the sun to the hills goes a-hiding.
Yippee-yay!
There'll always be someone glad when I come home.
Yippee-yay! Yippee-o! End of day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell. Or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
There's a tired pony glad that it's over.
Yippee-yay!
With a song in my heart, so am I.
Yippee-o.
For tonight we'll be dreaming of clover.
Yippee-yay!
And we always Yippee-o. Will until the day we die.
Yippee-yay! Yippee-o! In the day, home we go. For a cowboy has to sing, and a cowboy has to yell. Or his heart would break inside of him at the gate of the home corral.
Hello there, friends. Mighty good to be with you again, bringing you our Western stories and songs. And since most folks like a love ballad, including the cowboys who enjoy singing them, we've got one of the same ready for you right now. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held before. I'll think of you each day and then I'll dream the night away till you are in my arms once more.
the sky, know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away from you. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So darling, please wait for me. The stars up in the sky know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away from you. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So darling, please wait for
the writers of the Purple Sage really managed to get all the feeling of the Old West in their Western ballads. It's mellow music you can listen to over and over again. You know, Weber's bread is like that too. The flavor's so good, hundreds of thousands of Southern California housewives buy Weber's bread day after day. That's because you can count on the bread in the blue and white gingham wrapper to be consistently fine, fresh, and tasty. Each loaf is made of choice ingredients, balanced and blended, to bring out all their natural full goodness. Weber's bread is always fine-textured, tender fresh, and that tender freshness lasts longer, too. So for everyday enjoyment, as well as holiday entertaining, get the bread that's first in flavor, first in freshness, Weber's bread, in the blue and white gingham wrapper.
Irving Berlin's contribution to our popular music has been so great that it's well-nigh impossible to select a representative tune from his list of compositions. But among others, there's this one which old and young alike love to hear, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, it's the best band in the land. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. It's just the bestest band, whatever. Honey lamb, come on along, come on along. Let me take you by the hand. To the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you want to hear that Swanee River play in ragtime, come on here, come on here. Alexander's Ragtime Band. Take you by the hand, take you to the man who's the leader of the band. And if you want to hear that Swanee River play in ragtime, come on here, come on here. Alexander, Zander, Zander's Ragtime Band.
Now for a story, one which Boy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage think you'll enjoy, and which they call Hail to the Spirit That Always Wins. The vast stretches of unpopulated land in the West are in themselves vital factors in the forming of character and circumstance which mold the individual. A man who lives alone amid the vastness is liable to become a little strange and be regarded by others as peculiar. And this very space, which slowly works its strange magic on him, will also be the motivating factor in bringing into his little world the egregious individual who will make an otherwise ordinary moment a special event. Of a man who lives in such vastness and a passerby is the warp and woof of our story today. Boy Willing, Al Slowey, and Johnny Paul are heading for town, still 10 miles away. They'll take care of their errands for the boss, then they'll head back for the ranch tomorrow. Or so they plan. And who knows, their plans might hold. And then again,
Sun's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too doggone
hot. Hey!
What?
That car standing up there ahead, does that look familiar to you guys?
I've been watching it, boy, and it looks familiar to me.
Sure it does.
Only I can't think who belongs to it.
I don't recognize it.
Sure you do, Al. Think a minute.
Can't. Sun's too hot.
Now, who has the oldest broken-down jalopy west of the Mississippi River?
I can't think.
Who's the person who'd be most likely parked out here in the middle of nowhere trying to fix the engine with barbed wire he stole off a fence post?
I know.
Sure.
Two-Bit Michelson. Of course, Two-Bit Michelson, the peddler.
My goodness, I haven't seen him since Heck was a pup.
Me neither. And you better pop a little life into your sales resistance, boys. You know how he is.
I sure do. Well, he'll try to sell you the warts right off his nose.
And if you don't watch out, he'll do it, too.
You guys keep saying no for me. You know how I am.
Okay, Johnny, we'll protect you.
Well, the last time I ran into him, he absolutely convinced me that I needed worse than anything else in the world a 5-pound box of lilac bath powder.
Sometimes I think he was right.
He sees us. He's waving.
Well, let's wave back. We're far enough away to risk being polite.
Hello there, Two-Bit. He's sitting down on the running board to wait for us.
Yeah, and you know what he's doing while he's sitting there, don't you?
What?
Well, he's figuring out what worthless article he has the best chance of selling. Uh-oh, what did I tell you? Now he's getting one of those beat-up old suitcases out of the back end.
No, Two-Bit.
What's biting you?
I'm just practicing. No, Two-Bit. I can't use it.
Tell him you're broke.
I'm broke, Two-Bit.
Tell him you already have a couple.
I already have a couple, Two-Bit.
Tell him you'll take a half a dozen.
I'll take half a dozen. No!
Better be quiet, boys. We're within hearing distance now.
Well... If it ain't
the boy. Hello, Two-Bit.
How fortuitous a meeting. How jolly for us all.
Where you been keeping yourself, Two-Bit?
Oh, here and there, round about the countryside, pursuing a mission in life.
Having some car trouble, Two-Bit?
Well, I've had the least little bit of misfortune with my automobile, but I have it fixed with a length of barbed wire, some spit, and the promise of an extra gallon of gasoline somewhere along the line.
Hey, Two-Bit, what's that?
What's what, Johnson, my boy?
That there.
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Oh, here we go.
This gorgeous, compelling, eye-catching piece of cloth is one of the most fantastic pieces of merchandise which it has ever been my privilege to offer to the public.
What's so wonderful about it?
A good question indicating an astute mind, boy. As a piece of cloth, it's nothing more or less than a brightly printed length of goods. But, gentlemen, you are looking at a genuine South Sea Island sarong.
Hey, no fooling.
This gorgeous piece of material once was wrapped around the dazzling figure of a raven pressed to Asian beauty, who whiled away the moonlight nights leaning languidly against the palm trees and singing softly as the waves gently washed the glittering white sands of the lonely beach.
Go ahead, Two-Bit. Don't stop now.
And as the moon rode higher and higher in the star-specked heavens, the lovely girl's loneliness and yearning became almost unbearable. Silently, a pearl-like tear coursed its way down her satin-smooth cheek, past her full red lips, and dropped from her chin onto the timeless sands below.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, she arose, her lovely body undulating as she moved slowly toward the whispering waves, still singing her lonely song as she walked into the moonlight path on the water. Her beauty was reflected a million different times by the water itself as it gently caressed her.
Gee.
She began to swim. Each motion was a poem. Straight into the moonlit path she swam, farther and farther and farther. Soon she was a part of the sea and the sky and the moonlight too. I found the sarong on the beach where she dropped it. And I'll sell it to you for $5.
I'll take it.
Johnny.
Huh? What?
Two-Bit, why do you make up those fantastic stories? You know you bought that cloth for 20 cents a yard in a department store in Dallas.
Johnny, put your money back in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you let Johnny buy the sarong if he wants it?
Sarong? Whom is kidding whom?
Boy, you really had me going there, Two-Bit.
One of the greatest pitches I ever made, Johnny. Too bad your unromantic friends here spoiled it. But no hard feelings.
Oh, no, no hard feelings. But I don't see for the life of me why you don't get some worthwhile stuff to sell, Two-Bit.
Everything I have is worthwhile, Foy. Purchases are made for the soul, too, you know.
Yeah, but if you'd put your talents to selling real estate or something, you'd make a fortune.
But that's not my mission in life. My mission is to bring some romance, some joy, some prettiness into the lives of the folks around here. For instance, now, this ostrich feather looks like just an ostrich feather, nothing more.
Well, is it?
The person who buys this will buy the story that goes along with it. This feather came from a fan that Queen Victoria carried during a ball in Windsor Castle.
Oh, Two-Bit, for crying out loud.
And this little glass chimes here, made personally by an ancient Chinese philosopher of the Far Eastern Orient. He hung it on his porch where the breeze would make the glass tinkle, while he sat and thought up wise sayings. And this lovely old beaded lampshade.
Boy, we better get on down the road. We'll end up with a lot of junk we never will use.
Yeah, you're right, Al.
Oh, I have many more things, boys.
But we don't have time to wait, Two-Bit. We'll see you again.
Well,
thanks for the story about the sarong, Two-Bit. I sure did enjoy it.
Well, that'll be on the house this time, Johnny.
Maybe I'll buy something next time I see you.
I hope so. Because when you buy from me, you get double your money's worth.
Well, so long, Two-Bit. And if you get a gold tooth from a cannibal, let me know. I've been hunting all over for one.
Well, it just so happens that I have one right here in another...
Come on, Two-Bit. Boys, let's ride, or I'll end up with that darn gold tooth.
Whoa, boy.
Hey, why are we stopping here at Daniel's place, boy?
To ask him if we can do anything for him in town.
Oh.
Daniel! Hey, Daniel!
Hello, boy.
Hello, Daniel.
Well, I do declare to goodness now. It's a lucky thing you boys stopped by like this.
We're on our way into town, Daniel, and we wondered if we could bring you anything.
Well, sure, now, that's real nice of you boys. But I don't believe there's nothing I need at all.
Got plenty of grub and everything?
I think me and Miss Jezebel has all we need.
Mrs. Jezebel? Well, who in the world is that?
Why, Al Sloy, you break my heart, son. You forgot my lovely little lady cow?
Oh, Jezebel. But you never called her Mrs. before, did you?
Well, it's only proper now. We're expecting.
Is that right?
Yes, indeedy. I think tomorrow sometime there'll be the patter of tiny feet in Miss Jezebel's stall. So that's why it's a lucky thing you boys stopped by. I was going to ride up to your place today and ask you if you'd come by and help me when the time comes.
Why, sure, Daniel. We'd be glad to... Wait. We're on our way into town now. We could get back here about dark. Could you put us up for the night?
Oh, my, yes. I could surely do that, boy.
Okay, then we'll be back.
Well, sir, that's fine of you, boys.
Oh, incidentally, Daniel.
Yes?
Two-Bit Michelson's headed this way.
Two-Bit is?
Yeah, so hide your money and practice saying no.
And you better practice longer than I did, Daniel. He nearly caught me.
Two-Bit Michelson. My, I surely will enjoy to see him.
Two-Bit.
Daniel, hello.
My, Two-Bit. I've been a-waiting and a-waiting for
well,
you.
Well, Daniel, old friend, the winter and summer have been kind to you.
Oh, Two-Bit, nothing much happens to me. I just wither up a little more each year, and someday I'll just blow away. Two-Bit, what you got this trip?
Oh, pretties, Daniel. I've outdone myself this year. I've got fabulous things from the world over.
Show me, Two-Bit, show me.
Yeah, I want to show you this, Daniel. You know, I've been saving this for you especially. Because I knew you'd appreciate it.
My.
A beaded lampshade. Direct from the palace of the Maharaja of Coochie Bacoochie. It fits on the chimney of a kerosene lamp and it's fireproof.
It's lovely. Just lovely.
The Maharaja received this as a present on his 25th birthday. And he placed it on the table by a window, which overlooked the courtyard, which was paved with solid gold bricks. In the courtyard, 42 snake charmers played their plaintive reeds while the cobras danced. And he stood at the window for 12 hours solid, while his subjects passed beneath him, waving silver-tipped spears encrusted with diamonds. There was a train of 500 white elephants, each one covered with a blue velvet blanket, embroidered with gold thread. The Maharaja received 4 bushels of diamonds, and 500,000 perfect pearls, as big as my thumbnail. But the present he loved most of all, and which he cherished more than all the fabulous gems, was this beaded lampshade. And you know why? Because his mother made it with her own hands. Daniel, it's yours for $1 and 2 bits.
2 bit, you're a real good friend to save this treasure for me.
Oh, I knew you'd appreciate it, Daniel.
Show me something else.
I have many things, Daniel. Many things. Many, many. It's this here.
Well, sir. Now, I'll tell you, that's one of the prettiest pretties I ever did see. What is it?
Glass chimes, Daniel, made personally by an ancient philosopher of the Far Eastern Orient.
Oh, tell me about it, Two-Bit.
This ancient man was a great thinker who lived high on a hill in the Far Eastern Orient. He was the wisest of all wise men, and to him came the crowned heads of all the countries for advice, the kings, the queens, the princes, and the princesses. And this ancient man would sit on his front porch and listen to their problems, and when he had a wise saying to answer them with, he would utter it. But in his silences, while he was thinking up his wise sayings, he noticed that his great visitors fidgeted. So he personally made this glass chime and hung it in the porch, where the gentle breeze would make it tinkle, and the sound of the tinkle would calm his nervous visitors while he thought up his wise sayings.
My, just think of that.
It's yours for 6 bits.
Oh, I'll have to have that 2 bit. I'll have to take that. Mrs. Jezebel will find them little tinkling sounds soothing to her spirit while she thinks up wise thoughts, too.
Oh, of course, Daniel.
I'll tell you what's what, 2 bit. You do indeed bring a pretty pack of dreams into a lonely man's life.
It's my mission, Daniel, and my pleasure. And now these I had in mind for you, too, especially for you.
Them little cards?
Important cards, Daniel.
They're real pretty, ain't they?
Very few people know it, but the picture on these cards were painted by a world-famous artist. Look at the line, the color, the texture, the skillful blending. These greeting cards, Daniel, were personally painted by an artist who was a part of the fabulous court of the French monarchs. With the court balls, the painted ladies, the fawning courtiers, they all disgusted him because his painting wasn't making people like you and me happy. So we cast aside the glitter of the fashionable court, went to his garret.
What's that?
Attic.
Oh.
He went to his garret and began painting what you see before you.
My.
He was later hanged for deserting the court, but he left the priceless cards behind him. Cards on which the verses were personally written by William Shakespeare.
You don't say.
Who else could write such a tender sentiment as this? To you, my dearest daughter, on your graduation day, may heaven always guide you with its brightest, clearest ray.
That's lovely. Just lovely.
I knew you'd appreciate them, Daniel. Cost 6 bits.
I mean it, boy. If I ever see that 2-bit Michelson again, I'm going to kick his britches right up around his ears.
Al, for Pete's sake, will you shut up? It's none of your business. And drive those pans.
I am.
You are not. You're giving him a lick and a promise.
Well, I'm sore.
But it's none of your business.
I think it's our business when 2-bit unloads a lot of worthless junk on a nice old guy like Daniel.
Maybe we think it's worthless junk, but Daniel thinks he's bought some fine treasures. Hand me the coffee pot.
You're closer to it than I am. Fine treasure, my eye. He's got Johnny out there helping him hang those glass chimes that come from the Far Eastern Orient, which is a second-hand shop in Houston, probably.
Probably so, but still, it's
and
not
the same with the beaded lampshades. Maharaja's palace, my royal foot. Why, that
Al, think a minute. We know 2-bit is a terrible liar. Daniel probably knows it, too. But 2-bit spends a fine yarn about his goods, and to an old man who lives alone like Daniel does, a fine yarn about a beaded lampshade or a few pieces of colored glass may keep him company through many a long evening.
But they're so useless.
No, they aren't.
Well, if they ain't useless, what do you think the greeting cards are? Of all the no-good, why, the man that sold those things ought to be strung up. Greeting cards are for greeting somebody with. Daniel don't know anybody to send them to, and he's stuck with 20 of them pertaining to all occasions.
Shh, wait a minute. Don't say anything more.
Oh, my. I tell you, boys, I owe 2-bit a debt of gratitude.
You what?
Al.
Yes, sir. Miss Jezebel just loves them glass chimes and the little tinkling sounds.
Well, that's good, Daniel.
I told her the story about the ancient Chinese philosopher, and she understood it all. And I just know she'll think up a lot of wise thoughts like he did.
Is she comfortable, Daniel?
I don't think it's going to be too long, boy. I think it'll be before morning.
Well, it's a good thing we came back tonight, then.
Oh, yes. And I was just going to take this box of greeting cards out and read them to her now. Sort of ease her spirit at this time. Now, Miss Jezebel, Johnny and me are going to read you some of these nice greeting cards, ain't we, Johnny?
Sure, if you say so, Danny.
They're lovely cards. Such pretty little drawings and them sentiments, Miss Jezebel. You wouldn't hardly think mortal soul could write such beautiful music, words, that is. Now, where'd I put my specs?
On your forehead, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Now, oh, here's a fine one. Don't you agree holidays are heaven? Merry Christmas, 1927.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd like that. Now, here's another. Dear friend in the hospital, we are thinking of you, your fellow members of the Ladies' Aid. Look up. Cheer up,
and never be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
See, Johnny, Miss Jezebel understands every word.
Daniel, you better call the boys. Mrs. Jezebel's about to become a mother. Hey, Al, what's eating him?
I don't know, Johnny. Maybe he's wearing his long underwear.
The joke's on you, Al.
What joke?
Yeah, what joke, boy?
Well, I'll tell you, Johnny. While you were out in the barn with Daniel last night, and I were doing the dishes, Al got real burned up.
And rightly so, dog.
Wait a minute, Al. You see, Johnny, Al said that everything Two-Bit sold to Daniel was absolutely worthless.
It is.
Especially the greeting cards.
Especially the greeting cards.
Al said they weren't worth a hoop and a holler, and Daniel never had any use for them.
Oh, brother.
Well, what's the funny, boy?
Yeah, what's the funny? Daniel never will have any use for them.
You guys didn't see what Daniel did this morning, did you?
Why?
He went thumbing through those cards until he found the one he wanted. Then he put it in an envelope and wrote Mrs. Jezebel's name on it, took it out and read it to her, and then tacked it up on the wall where she could see it.
What did it say?
And what's so wonderful about that?
Nothing, except that if Daniel had ridden all the way to Houston, he couldn't have found a more appropriate card.
What did it say, boy?
It said, and I quote, "Hail to the spirit that always wins. Congratulations on your twins."
It looks like old Daniel didn't get such a bad bargain after all. But those were the days of let the buyer beware, and you had to be a pretty good trader to come out even. Mighty different from today, when you can pick up a loaf of Weber's bread in its distinctive blue and white wrapper and know it's going to be good. Yes, every loaf of Weber's bread is good bread, always fresh, always tasty, always tender. There's only one thing you have to worry about. Be sure to get to the market early. The way women have been snatching up those tender, fresh loaves of Weber's, they may be out of the size you want. And those rich flavored, fine textured slices are just the right accompaniment to your Thanksgiving turkey. Everybody likes Weber's bread, the loaf in the blue and white checked gingham wrapper.
Great songs which have been given special treatment by the writers of the Purple Sage have the distinction of being done in this featured spot on your all-star Western theater. Today's choice, a folk song, Kentucky.
Kentucky, you are the dearest land outside of heaven to me. Kentucky, your laurel and your redbud tree. When I die, I want to rest upon a graceful mountain so high, for that is where God will look for me. Sweetheart are away for me. happy. I will be coming soon.
Well, that about takes care of things for this time, friends. We're always glad when you can be with us, and we invite you to join us again next week. Before we go, we want to thank Kurt Barrett and Tyler McVeigh for helping us tell our story. This is Foy Willing speaking for Al Floyd, Johnny Paul, and Scotty Harrell, the writers of the Purple Sage, saying so long and the best of luck to all of you.
Drifting along, singing a song under a western moon.
From Hollywood, you've heard your all-star Western Theater. A B.M. Bear production starring America's great Western singers, Foy Willing and the Riders of the Purple Sage. The script was written and directed by Scott Farnworth. This is Terry O'Sullivan speaking.
The All-Star Western Theater was recorded earlier and came to you from Columbia Square. This is KNX in Los Angeles. 25 seconds until 7 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time.
This has been a presentation of OTRWesterns.com, and we hope you enjoyed. Please take some time to like and rate our shows in your favorite podcast application. Follow us on Facebook by going to otrwesterns.com/Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to otrwesterns.com/YouTube. And send us an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 707-986-8739. This episode is copyright under the Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.